Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, we've got a car for you to drive away. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and I always look forward to the opportunity to sing to my listeners. And my panelists are certainly thrilled that I did that. Why was I singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-day, Charlotte?
Well, it's definitely a play on the zip car here that we're talking about these today and yesterday.
Yeah, so we are talking about Zipcar auto rentals, and this is not really new. They're 12 years old, but a relatively new company as far as awareness for most people in the marketplace, and they rent automobiles by the day, by the hour, actually. By the hour. Wouldn't you like to do that? Be able to rent a car for a couple of hours? And it makes a lot of sense, especially as we discovered yesterday at university campuses where there are a lot of students that really can't afford cars. There's no place to park. And so it makes a lot of sense for that market. We even finished, though, the day yesterday by learning that it's not limited to the 18 to 22-year demographic. As far as young people, there's people all over that this makes sense for. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we continue today. But first, let me introduce our panelists and back for day two. Again, I first said hello to Charlotte. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Yeah. And we finished yesterday talking about you were in L.A. And we were talking about how in Los Angeles, Zipcar makes some sense, right?
It really does. There's not a lot of public transportation options in LA, and everything is very spread out. So it would be the ideal place for it.
So spread out. And we kind of take for granted here in Asia the mass transit systems in many of the big cities being so efficient. That just does not exist in LA.
Right. You can get anywhere in somewhere like Taipei or Hong Kong.
Right. Because, yes, in LA, it's all highways. So back for day two again also is Craig Shaver. Hi, Craig.
Good to be back, Bill.
Yeah, great to have you here. And I had asked yesterday about when you fly and you're all over the world, but you don't really rent cars very often.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
Not personally rent it. What we do is we hire a car.
Yeah.
We use taxis primarily.
Mm, but you actually used a concept down in Australia called Zip Bike. Right?
Yes, they don't call it Zip Bike, but when I read this article, I thought of that situation exactly because it operates in the same principle.
Yeah, so you can rent a bicycle just for a couple of hours.
Yes, and they're located throughout the city, so pick up a bike, drop it off someplace else. And
yeah, that's great. That's good. And you can, you know, especially for somebody who's just in town for a very short period of time, for a couple of hours, that go for a bike ride.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also here for day two is Elizabeth Sunshine. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, Bill. It's great to be back on Advanced.
Yeah, and you had talked yesterday about your experience back in the university days, and you had used Zipcar, right?
Yes, I had. It was pretty much the only way I had to get off of campus because I didn't own a car.
All right, there at Brandeis University in Boston, and you would rent it for a couple of hours, and it worked for you. It was convenient.
That's right.
Yeah, now I do want to know, is there anything, are there any drawbacks, any catches I need to know about? Did you have any experiences that we, you know, are on the flip side of things?
Well, I did have one bad experience. One of the first few times I used Zipcar, it was because it was a type of car that I wasn't used to. I started driving it, and just as I was going, before I even got off campus, I realized it wasn't moving very smoothly, and then I started smelling smoke.
Mm.
And so I was really nervous about this. I had no idea what was wrong with the car. I drove it back and contacted them. The Zipcar people got back to me, and they said they didn't find anything wrong. I think it's possible that I just left the parking brake on.
You would not be the first person to have ever done that.
Yes, especially in a strange car.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess my advice is if you're going to use a Zipcar, make sure you figure out how the car works first.
Well, you make a very good point, especially in a strange car, because a lot of times people will rent cars, they will get in somebody else's car. check the mirrors, check where all the gauges are, and check where everything is, so that once you're out on the road, you're not looking around trying to find, oh, where's the lights? Where's the windshield wipers? It's pouring down raining. How do I turn these things on? So make sure you are familiar with the car. All right. That sounds like an operator error, not a company error.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. But we'll let you off the hook this time. Okay. Now, listeners, turn to page 38, 39, and 40. And what we're going to do here first, before we get into our reading today, is we've got a couple sidebars, and let's cover those before we get into today's reading. And if you look on page 38, down in the bottom left corner, one sidebar says, on track. I'm going to have Charlotte read it.
Sure. Well, we can see that Zipcar is doing very well for itself. It says here, membership has skyrocketed. The company says it had 673,000 members nationwide in 2011, up from 81,000 in 2006, a 730% increase. Meanwhile, revenue grew from $31 million in 2006 to $242 million last year. The company says, up 680%. Those are some really big numbers.
Yeah, those are big numbers, and they have grown. It's a concept that is taking off. Now, I will say one thing. The company was founded 12 years ago in Cambridge, Massachusetts, near where Elizabeth went to school. During this period of time, over the past, I would say past 5 or 6 years, and they actually have also bought some competitors. So that part of their revenue increase is, I believe they've actually been able to double or triple their revenue through purchases also. They've grown. They have grown, but they actually have bought a couple of other competitors. So they've been able to really increase their size through these mergers and acquisitions. But it is something that is viable because they are succeeding. They are at 260 campuses around the country, plus many major urban areas. So it's here. It's not going away. And as the price of gasoline and cost of ownership goes up, I could see this being sustained. So there is a market for it. As Craig mentioned, a niche for this. So speaking of Craig, I'm going to have him read the sidebar there on page 39, hitting the road.
Or starting your trip. After customers sign up, they must have a driver's license and be insurable. They are issued a zip card. When they want a car, they go online to reserve it and are told where to pick it up. To get into the car, they wave their zip card over a sensor in the windshield, which unlocks the vehicle.
Oh.
Seems pretty easy to me.
Wow. Hey, that's really pretty cool. So did you have that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
About a week after I signed up, I got an envelope in the mail with my zip card in it. And, yeah, the keys to the car that you use to turn them on are inside.
Yeah.
And you just wave your zip card over the window to get in.
Okay. Now, when you went to get this car, like when you were told where to pick it up, where were these things?
Well, there were two of them on my university campus, and those I found pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
There was one time, though, when the two zip cars on campus had both been reserved at the time I needed it.
Yeah.
So I had to go into the city in order to get to the zip car.
Yeah.
And that didn't work out so well because I had some trouble finding it. Yeah. I got a little bit lost. And then, additionally, a number of other things went wrong that day, so I ended up being about a half hour late for the event that I was trying to get to.
Okay. All right. So this was more of an issue just trying to find the car. You weren't familiar with the place.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, listeners, let's get into today's reading. We're going to break it down into three sections. So turn to page 40, and we'll have the first two paragraphs right now.
Although Zipcar seems serious about changing attitudes toward car ownership, that is likely to be a long process. I see it more as a life cycle thing, said George Hoffer, a business professor at the University of Richmond who follows the auto industry. Just as the minivan was to the soccer mom, the hourly rental could free the urban wire from the weight of a car. While the notion of sharing cars might seem downright odd, The company's mostly young members are completely comfortable with it, Serafino said. Many got clobbered by the recession and can't afford cars.
Okay, although Zipcar seems serious about changing attitudes toward car ownership, that is likely to be a long process. And then, you know, why is this statement there? Well, we're going to hear from a professor here.
Right. George Hoffer, he's a business professor, actually, and he says, I see it more as a life cycle thing. So I think owning your own car is kind of a sign of maturity in North American culture. You grow up, you get a real job, you buy your car, you buy your house. So maybe it is part of your life cycle, kind of one step in your growth into adulthood.
Well, it indicates independence, freedom that comes with that. Because normally we grow up as teenagers or even 20-year-olds or something where you have to borrow the car from mom and dad. And just that in itself, there are some restrictions. So it's almost like one of the gates as far as growing up is owning your own car. You don't have to ask anybody anymore for the keys. So, but you know, so there's promise with that, but there's also problems with that. But so it is a life cycle thing. That's what George Hoffer is getting at here. Now he does continue. In line 6.
Just as the minivan was to the soccer mom, the hourly rental could free the urban wire from the weight of a car.
Okay. Now, back in the 80s and 90s, the minivan came out and it became very popular with the soccer mom. Now, was that a middle-aged woman that plays soccer?
No, it wasn't a woman who plays soccer. Usually it's a mother of children who play soccer. But this became sort of a larger term that talks about middle-aged women, usually with a lot of kids living in suburban areas.
Right. And they have to haul them around to all sorts of activities. So the soccer mom was this soldier who was taking responsibility of 5 or 6 kids, usually her own and the neighbor's kids, and driving them to everything. And it became a term in America, soccer mom. I don't know if they really even use that anymore in America, the term soccer mom. But it just it represented the need for transportation for families and the kids. Now, that was the minivan. The hourly rental fee could free the urban wire from the weight of a car. Now, first, what is a wire, Elizabeth?
Well, you see in your specialized terms, a wire is a person from what we call Generation Y.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's people who were born in the West in the 1980s and 1990s.
Okay. And what does George Hoffer mean, freeing them from the weight of a car?
I think mostly the economic weight, you know, the monthly payments, the responsibility, all of those things.
Yeah, so he's not talking, you know, how many pounds it weighs, but the responsibility and especially the cost, the economics of it. And we get into some of his reasons here in the next paragraph.
While the notion of sharing cars might seem downright odd, the company's mostly young members are completely comfortable with it, Serafino said. Many got clobbered by the recession and can't afford cars.
Okay, that comes from Mike Serafino. We met him yesterday, the general manager of Zipcar's university programs. And what he's talking about as far as the notion of sharing cars, it's funny. When I was growing up, when I was a teenager, early 20s, when I was at the university back in like around 1980, this wasn't even a concept. Wasn't even a concept. The only people that had cars on campus, maybe their parents had bought it for them or they had bought them. It was strictly car ownership or you did not have a car. And I had a bicycle. And that worked. It worked. However, I was at Penn State University, which was in the middle of Pennsylvania, and I couldn't get anywhere outside of my campus. I would have loved to have something like Zipcar. Now, sharing cars is a whole different concept, and it's because people are thinking differently today. They're completely comfortable with it. Now, he says many got clobbered. One of the reasons this is popular is many got clobbered by the recession. First off, clobbered.
Well, when I think of clobbered, I almost think about someone getting hit over the head with something, like a baseball bat or something. And it really means to affect someone very badly. It almost means to set someone back. And when a lot of people started losing their jobs or having a hard time finding jobs, of course, they're not going to have as many financial resources available to buy a car. Or like you said before, maybe they do have to sell their car, give up their car in order to pay other bills.
Yeah. The recession we're talking about here has been especially hard on university graduates in the last 4 or 5 years. Finding a really good job is difficult, finding a decent paying job. Many don't have jobs. Many have continued on with graduate school. Has that been this case with your fellow students?
Well, my classmates and I graduated a couple of years ago, and most of them have jobs or are in grad school now, but it definitely took a long time. I had friends who had graduated for maybe 5 or 6 months before they actually found a job.
Yeah. So one, finding a job is difficult for today's university graduates. The second thing is many of these students have got a lot of loans, a lot of college loans that they've got to pay off. They've got $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 in student loans that they've got to pay off. So owning a car, buying a car has now become like one of those decisions they have to make, no car, car or no car. And many of them have to decide not to buy a car, right?
Right.
Yeah, because it's an economic thing. So this Zipcar idea works for them. Okay, let's shift gears and go into our next reading.
Shifting gears. In addition, the 20-something members of Gen Y have grown up sharing music and videos in their on-demand culture. Rapid access to things is very important for this generation, Serafino said. It started with TV and then moved to music. We call it collaborative consumption. About half of Zipcar members sell a car or choose not to buy a car as a result of their Zipcar membership, Serafino told GigaOM, a technology media and research site. That makes urban life more affordable for many, many people.
Okay, shifting gears. How do we start this section, Craig?
Well, in addition to the 20-something members of Generation Y, called Gen Y, they have grown up sharing music and videos in their on-demand culture.
Okay. Interesting, because, again, even music and videos, it was a whole different concept before. We would own albums or cassette tapes, or we would own CDs, but now a lot of it is more sharing of things, downloading. It's a whole different concept. On-demand culture.
Well, the first thing I think of is MOD or VOD, you know, video on demand or TV on demand, where you can you don't have to wait around for the show you want. You can say, okay, I'm going to watch this, and you can flick over to it right away and watch it. So there's no waiting time. It's kind of this rapid access, like it says in the next line. It's something that I want it now, and I want to get it as soon as possible.
Yeah. And I want to use it for a little bit of time, then I'll be done with it.
Right.
Then I'll move on to something else. Okay. Once again, we hear from Mike Serafino.
He says, rapid access to things is very important for this generation. He says it started with TV and then moved to music. We call it collaborative consumption.
Wow, neat term. I don't know if I had heard those two words put together. I've heard of collaborative process where people are maybe meeting together in groups. They're creating things. Had you ever heard of collaborative consumption?
No, I haven't. It's a new term for me, too.
Yeah. Now, first off, collaborative. What do we mean by collaborative?
What we're doing is we're involving two or more people working together for a particular purpose.
Okay. All right. So collaborative means working together, maybe creating things. This is the opposite almost, collaborative consumption.
Right. Consumption is talking about buying things or using things up. So it almost seems like it's almost contradiction that you're going to work together to use something. But it actually does work in this case with the Zipcar.
Yeah. Contradiction. You said a good word there. What's that mean, contradiction?
Contradiction means something that seems to say the opposite of what it really means, but it actually still has meaning.
It's almost what I would say is an oxymoron, two words that have the exact opposite meaning, collaborative consumption. So, but I can understand what he means. It's just it's a group all of a sudden consuming things or using things. Okay. Now, we continue again. Serafino's got more to say in the next paragraph.
Yes, he says about half of Zipcar members sell their car or choose not to buy a car as a result of their membership.
Hmm. Wow. This is impacting their purchase decision. They're putting it off.
They are. But, you know, as I mentioned earlier, though, Bill, it also is going to start impacting other sections of society and also of employment. Because if people make these radical changes from doing what most people do, and that is when they have the opportunity, they buy a car, now they put off that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they may not just buy a car then. Serafino told this to GigaOM, a technology, media, and research site. And he finishes this paragraph with another quote.
He says, that makes urban life more affordable for many, many people. And we all know that it is much more expensive to live in a city. And so if you can make your urban or city life more affordable, then that's mm-hmm. always a good thing.
Certainly, the rents are very, very high. And if you try to combine high rent with an expensive car, that just means you might even be losing money. So maybe this might be the difference between people losing money and their monthly budget or actually being able to save a little bit of money by just using Zipcar. Okay, let's have our last reading of this article.
Driving Synergy. Last year, Ford Motor Company became a partner with Zipcar in its university programs, a move the automaker doesn't view as consorting with the enemy. It subsidizes $10 of the cost of the service to student members of Zipcar. In the short term, Ford wants to know more about Generation Y, sometimes called millennials, a group bigger than baby boomers that tends to rely heavily on social media for communication. The millennials are a very difficult audience to reach, and their loyalty to brands is not as strong as other demographics, said Ford spokeswoman Angie Kozleski. But we still think we will all, at some point in time, have to get a car.
Driving synergy. How do we define synergy?
Synergy is the combined power of a group of things when they're working together, and it's greater than the sum of what they would have if they were working separately.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Collaborative would be a synonym of that, bringing together everybody's efforts to create a greater power then as far as the creation and the work. Now, Craig has been talking about the impact that this might have on other segments of the economy, so I'm going to let him start this section. It addresses it.
Okay. I talked about last year, Ford Motor Company became a partner with Zipcar in its university programs, a move that automakers do not view as consorting with the enemy.
Okay. All right. So here's a manufacturer, Ford, and they're actually becoming a partner with a Zipcar. It seems a little strange. And then there's this term in here, consorting with the enemy. What does that mean?
Basically, when you spend a lot of time in the company of a particular group of people, especially people whose character is not approved of, in a case like this, as I mentioned earlier, I would have concerns if I was Ford Motor Company mm-hmm. about Zipcar turning people away from buying a car or waiting longer to purchase a car. But what Ford is doing is trying to get close to the enemy.
Right.
They want to get an idea, what is this going to do to me? How will it impact our future operations?
Yeah. Now, as far as consorting with the enemy, this is kind of a helpful term. Imagine if I worked for Apple, and then after work every night, I go and I hang out at the sports bar with a couple of people from Microsoft. And if I kept doing this, then my boss might say, Bill, you seem to be consorting with the enemy because they are direct competitors in some things. And so it might not be viewed as a positive. There might be questions about me like, what are you doing consorting with the enemy? This is you have to stop this. But Ford is doing this for a reason. They see a benefit in it. And we continue with that next sentence says, it subsidizes $10 of the cost of the service to student members. Now, when you subsidize something.
When you subsidize something, you actually pay part of the cost, and that will reduce the cost for consumers. So I often think of governments will subsidize certain products for people or even on farms for farmers. If there's a bad year, maybe the governments will actually give them some extra support to subsidize their crops.
Okay, good. Help them out to survive and be profitable. Now, in the short term, Ford wants to know more about Generation Y, sometimes called millennials, because they're a pretty big group, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a group that's bigger than the baby boomers, and it also says they tend to use a lot of social media.
Okay. All right. So, of course, baby boomers, that would be Craig and I, were baby boomers, and then Elizabeth would be a millennial.
Yeah.
Right? So, and it's a whole different way of socializing and working within the economy that we do have. Now, speaking of millennials, we continue with this theme in the next paragraph.
Right. The millennials are a very difficult audience to reach, and their loyalty to brands is not as strong as other demographics. So because they have this instant culture, because they're always relying on social media, they're a lot more likely to believe what their friends say than to believe an advertisement that they see. So they're really hard to reach out to or to advertise to, because it's hard to know what they want, and they're not quite as loyal to a certain brand.
Yeah. And we had actually talked about that in our second reading, the on-demand culture. It's they want it now, they'll use it, they'll move on to the next thing that's hot. So there's not as much brand loyalty as maybe the baby boomers. That comes from Ford spokeswoman Angie Kozlowski, who is helping to explain Ford Motor Company's involvement with Zipcar. And Angie finishes with a quote.
But we still think that we will all, at some point in time, have to get a car.
Okay, so what is she saying here relative to what you were talking about?
I think Ford is trying to position itself, gaining insight into the buying habits, into the spending habits of students. So when they do become of age, they can't afford that car. They'll think of Ford. It's almost like trying to purchase information.
Yeah. I'm looking at day one. I see Freddie the Ford Focus and Pawn the Prius. So, you know, as far as being involved with this, maybe Ford sees this as like, well, it's one of the potential future trends. We need to be part of this. We can't fight this. Let's be part of this. Maybe the Zipcar users will like our vehicles. And if we are in the game, at least they might be buying our car in the future. We can't avoid this, or we run the risk of people not buying our cars at all. So at least let's be part of the game. Maybe Elizabeth will like our car, and then years later, a couple years from now, she'll buy a Ford. So I think that's the thinking behind that.
Good insight.
Okay, listeners, thanks for joining us for this technology article. I hope it's been helpful learning about Zipcar auto rentals. Thanks for being here. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Craig.
Charlotte.
And Elizabeth.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.